Sodanandana braja janaranjana Sodanandana braja janaranjana Yamunatira banachari Yamunatira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giridhvadadhari Asuranandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Giridhvadadhari Yasodanandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hari Hari. Krishna Krishna Hari Hari. Rama Rama Hari Hari. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Rama Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Jaya Radha Pallabha, Radha Pallabha, Sri Radhe. Jaya Jagannatha Jaya Jagannatha Jaya Baladeva Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Jaya Balade Vadaya Jaya Gauranitai 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 Jaya Gauranitai Nitai Gaura Haribo Lo Haribo Hariba Gaura Hariba Jaya Vishnu Bhat Paramahansa Isi Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Vallabha Bhagavan Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6. Chapter 18, text 53, although we'll read a few verses this morning, but we'll start with text 53. Striyo viravatischachet Vatischachet Sraganda balimandanai Patim chachyo patishteta Dhyayet koshta gatam chatam Striyo viravatis charchet Patis charchet Sraganda balimandanai Patim chatyo patishteta Dhyayet koshta gatam chatam Viravatis chachet Patim chachyo patishteta Patim chatyo patishteta Dayet koshta gatam Sriyo viravatis chachet Sraganda bali mandanai Patim chatyo patishteta Jayet koshta gatam chatam Striya Women Viravati Possessing husbands and sons Cha And Achet She should worship Srak with garlands. Ganda, sandalwood. Bali, presentations. Mandanai, and with ornaments. Patim, the husband. Cha, and. Archya, worshipping. Upatishteta, should offer prayers. Jayet, should meditate. Kostagatam, situated in the womb. Cha, also. Tam, upon him. Translation. With flower garlands, sandalwood pulp, ornaments and other paraphernalia, a woman following this vow should worship women who have sons and whose husbands are living. The pregnant wife should worship her husband and offer him prayers. She should meditate upon him, thinking that he is situated in her womb. Purport, the child in the womb is a part of the husband's body. Therefore, the husband, through his representative, indirectly remains within the womb of his pregnant wife. So we'll read through a few verses. Samvatsaram pumsavanam vratam etat aviplutam dara is yasi chetubhyam sakraha bhavita sutta. Translation. Kashyapa Muni continued, if you perform this ceremony called pumsavana, adhering to the vow with faith for at least 1 year, you will give birth to a son destined to kill Indra. But if there is any discrepancy in the discharge of this vow, the son will be a friend to Indra. And next verse. Bharam it yad yupet yata diti rajan mahamana kasyapat garamam arata vratam chanjo dadara sa. O King Parikshit, Diti, the wife of Kasyapa, agreed to undergo the purificatory process known as Pumsavana. Yes, she said, I shall do everything according to your instructions. With great jubilation, she became pregnant, having taken semen from Kasyapa and faithfully began discharging the vow. Text 56. O King, who are respectful to everyone, Indra understood Diti's purpose and thus he contrived to fulfill his own interests, following the logic that self-preservation is the first law of nature. He wanted to break Diti's promise. Thus he engaged himself in the service of Diti, his aunt, who was residing in an ashram. Text 57. Indra served his aunt daily by bringing flowers, fruits, roots, and wood for yajñas from the forest. He also brought kusha grass, leaves, sprouts, earth, and water exactly at the proper time. And text 58. O King Parikit, as the hunter of a deer becomes like a deer by covering his body with deer skin and serving the deer, so Indra, although at heart the enemy of the sons of Diti, became outwardly friendly and served Diti in a faithful way. Indra's purpose was to cheat Diti. As soon as he could find some fault in the way she discharged the vows of the ritualistic ceremony, however, he wanted to be undetected, and therefore he served her very carefully. So tomorrow, whoever writes the board, you have to write 59. I don't know who. You can just pass that. 59 is the verse tomorrow. So I've read a few verses today. So, continuing on with this incident in history, and Aditi, she's following the directions of her husband to get the son who was able to kill Indra, because it was through by Indra's endeavors that Vishnu came and killed her sons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So therefore she was very angry with Indra, and actually all the sons of Aditi, her co-wife to Kasyapa Muni, later on in this chapter, and she will say that actually not only I wanted to kill Indra, I wanted to kill all the Adityas, all the Adityas, meaning all the sons of Aditi. And they were all the demigods, like that big, powerful demigods who were the sons. And they had, together caused the descent of Lord Vishnu, who killed Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So she was very angry, very determined. Generally, that determination in the mode of, in Rajaguna, you get angry for, and you, from that anger comes a great determination. That is a little bit, she had some passion in her, some ignorance, and a little bit of goodness to be able to, it's all right. You can't hear me? Online. All right. That's all right. Just leave it there. So that determination, when one gets determination to do something for a long time, there has to be some goodness there, because a sattva guna allows one to remain steady and fixed. Although this is not a very long time, especially in the lifespan of the demigods, and she was like a demigoddess, the wife of a very powerful Brahmana, Kashyapa Muni. But still, some determination is there, more motor passion, and that enviousness and resentfulness and hatred. You get to the resentfulness, anger, resentfulness, envy, hatred, very much follow one after the other. Especially if you're in the mode of passion and ignorance. And so she had a hatred, and she wanted to kill. Now, as I mentioned yesterday and the day before, Kashyapa didn't like the idea, but he was obligated to give her the benediction that she would be able to do this, so he gave her this pumsavana. Now, pumsavana is it is one of the samskaras. It is a prenatal samskara that can be followed. Garbhanam samskara and like they're generally three. Of course, according to different shastras, they'll give different recommendations for the samskaras. But pumsavana is one of the samskaras, traditional samskaras, purificatory ceremonies that especially can be done for the ladies and the father and the mother who want a male child. They want the male child. And here she wanted a male child because she wanted to kill Indra. So she needed someone very powerful and strong, because Indra is not ordinary entity. He is very powerful, very, very powerful. So this was a very special pumsavana. You can perform this pumsavana. You can do it in a simple way, or you can do it in a more complex way. These are mantras, and you can do a homa also. Homa means fire yagya. You can do homa, depending how elaborate. This is generally the yajaman who's hosting this particular samskara. According to their means, maybe they can only do simple one. Maybe they can do more elaborate one. So pumsavana, one of the samskaras, garbhanam samskara is a conception, of course. And then pumsavana for the one, and generally this can be done, it varies after 3 months, it could be 4 months, 5 months, like that. And sometimes it's recommended. These things are taken from Atharva Veda, Rig Veda. There are many instructions how to perform these different samskaras, rituals. And so, as I said, you can do homa, and that is very auspicious. And you pour oblations into the father. You chant various mantras to invoke the blessings of the higher demigods and the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So, I'm sure we have done here in the temple some pumsavana so many times. I know in many temples they perform this homa, or sometimes very simple. Sometimes the wife is can fast for 3 days, and then some particular food is offered to her according to the directions of the shastras, is given that certain types of food and mixed, and then that is to be given by the husband. So there's many different prescriptions. She can do 3 day fast and then be fed this by the husband. There's another one that you put some in the nose also. So many things can be there. So this is samskara, purificatory rites, and it can be followed very nicely. It's very, very good to do like that. We have our Vaishnava samskaras, and we can do those. Of course, the difference are the we're not so conscious. Prabhupada was never pushing on performing all the samskara. He was pushing on doom sankirtan, as far as yagya, sankirtan yagya. And you know, when you do a yagya with homa, everything, you know, generally you have the yagya sal in the pit, and then in each corner you have, you can have Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, like that. You can have the shastras like that. I remember one time Prabhupada said, yes, this corner we put the Srimad Bhagavatam, that corner we put Bhagavad Gita, that one Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, like that. And then chant Hare Krishna mantra. And Sankirtan Yagya must be going on. I remember I was there for the opening of Vrindavan Temple. So Prabhupada had said that, well, in Vrindavan, if we just do our usual with Sankirtan, with Kirtan, and our, that maybe the local people will not see it as bona fide installation of the deity. It is a Western temple. Maybe think like it. So then he asked one disciple who actually could have performed the yagya himself. Yasodhananda Prabhu was very expert in doing the yagyas and the rituals and so on and so forth. We had quite a few devotees even in those days who were very expert. But he could have performed. But he said, you go, maybe get some South Indian brahmanas. They're very much respected. Bring them here. And there were many there. There were many there. I was there. And and they did it over quite a few days. I think it went for quite, I forget exactly how many. But Prabhupada, they had different procedures in installing the deities. But Prabhupada said, but main thing for us is Sankirtan Yagya. So while the priests are doing all these functions, which is very nice, I want the non-stop chanting, 24 hours chanting, non-stop over many days, up to the lead-up to the installation of the deity. And remember, we had shifts. I did some shifts. We had, I remember we had a very hard shift. One shift was 11 till 2, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. We had to do one shift. And so we were there 11 to 2, and then we had another one, I think, in the afternoon, two shifts we had. And so we were doing another, and this was different yatras. This was from the Australia, New Zealand area. We had to take this shift, and one from America, one from the Europe, one from India. Everyone had their shift. So Prabhupada said, you continuously you're doing. So as I said, he had, when he did the yagya, generally Prabhupada didn't do very elaborate, just a small thing. But you can do very elaborate, very nice. I remember in Burnett Street, the temple before here, he was doing one initiation yagya. And a very small temple room, you know, like a terrace house. And the bottom floor, just in the front part, was the temple room. And we had a big Vyasa-san for Prabhupada. It took up nearly a third of the temple room. We had a big Vyasa-san, and the deities were one end. And then we had big yagya. And then so much from the fire, so much smoke was coming, filling up the room. As reporters, we had invited reporters and TV stations. It was very, because there was a new thing for Melbourne. And so many had come with the lights, everything was there, hardly anyone could fit inside. And so much smoke was pouring out and filling the room. And then someone said, Prabhupada, we'll open the windows and because the smoke, I let the smoke out. No, no, Prabhupada said, the smoke, even the smoke is very purifying. This is true. There's some statements in the Shastra that the smoke from the yagya is very purifying. There's many statements that explain the reasons for that. And so it's very good that most of our devotee priests, they're doing these yagyas, very nice. And generally they're explaining what is the meaning of the yagya. There will be certain yagyas for certain things and certain mantras chanted. Well, ours will be the Vaishnava mantras. Others will perform more mantras to the demigods and so on. But of course we also include, but as representatives of the Lord Vishnu. So they explain. In some countries, you know, they do the yagya. And I know in Bali, I go there, Indonesia, and they do many yagyas. Quite often, even the priest doesn't understand what is the yagya. They know how to do it, but they doesn't know what is the yagya. So this is not some understanding. But so these yagyas are, so this pumsavana is very traditional. But this particular one that is given by Kasyapa Muni would seem to be a very extra special one. extra special. He's adding, and he's very qualified to do it. He's a great acharya. He's a great Muni, Rishi. And, you know, normally one doesn't change anything. There are different descriptions. There's a short version, a more longer version, and the complete version. And you follow the direction, what is there in the Shastra, how to do that. You don't change yourself. You're not qualified. You don't have the adhikar. You don't have the advancement. Oh, I can just change a little bit, maybe some slight things, but basically. But the great rishis, I don't know exactly, maybe there is something in the Shastra that he followed, but this one seems to be very special, Pumsavana, and because for one whole year she had to follow this thing. She had to follow one whole year. And so, and then as part of it here is that she would offer flower garlands, sandalwood pulp ornaments, and other paraphernalia, and that she should offer it to the other ladies who have sons and their husbands, and to her husband. She had, you know, we were just reading what she couldn't, what she shouldn't do, what she should do. Many actually very very elaborate, you know, many don'ts, many do's. And he actually stated that you have to follow it very exactly. Later on, if you don't follow it, then you won't get the desired effect. And she should meditate on her husband, thinking that his representative is now within my womb. So in this way, of course, ultimately you're worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all worship, just like Prabhupada would explain to us many times, I'm the guru, and it's my duty to receive this word, but I'm not receiving for myself, I'm receiving on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm the representative, so I'm on behalf. And Prabhupada was always very humble, even though we were doing Guru Puja and so much elaborate looking after. Because I'm the representative, I'm accepting. Otherwise, for myself, we could just sit and chant Hare Krishna mantra and we would be very happy. And so in the beginning when we bought the Mayapur land, Prabhupada, he just wanted simple hut. The disciple wanted to build him a very big thing. And that hut is still, when you go to Mayapur, that original hut is still there in the front. That was Prabhupada's hut. So later on, when the building, the Lotus building was first, and then the disciples were, no, Prabhupada, we want to give you a nice room. Those rooms that now, that are Prabhupada's rooms, that's where he stayed there in Mayapur. And of course, in Vrindavan, he had his rooms. And when he came here, I remember, because before, we were just renting different places. And we used to put Prabhupada in the Grihastha houses and so on. And then when we got this building, I remember we showed Prabhupada in the front here on the Beaconsfield parade. We went walking with Prabhupada, Japa, because we were looking to buy. There was one big Catholic monastery that occupied the whole block. You can actually see there's the old wall is still there in the front on Beaconsfield Parade. Pretty much straight opposite here. I went for a Japa walk this morning. You can still see a lot of the old wall, and that thing went for a whole block. At that time, this was like, I forget, what year, 73 or something. But they wanted $2 million for that, and of course $2 million then was a lot of money. Was that 50 years ago? So that was a lot of money. We didn't know exactly how we'd get it, but we showed it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, yes, very good. We should get it. Somehow or other, we'll ask the BBT for a loan. We'll get the money. Maybe other temples around the world can give. This is because this was going to be like a big headquarters for the Southern Hemisphere. This is how it was presented to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was walking up and down. Yes, very good. But it somehow didn't go through. They found out that we were different religion, Hare Krishna. They wanted us to pull down the chapel. Don't use our chapel. That is for our worship. We don't want you to go in there and do the work. Prabhupada, we told him, he didn't like that. No, we're not going to pull the chapel. They want to pull it, they can pull it. We won't pull it. We'll use it. Hare Krishna. Somehow or other, it didn't go through. And we ended up getting it. But when Prabhupada came here, we took him up to his quarters there. You can see Prabhupada's room. He couldn't believe. He said, oh, this is all for me, he said. That's how we said. We walked in and he said, this is all for me. Yes, Prabhupada, this is all for you. This is just your study room, your darshan room. This is your darshan room, and the next door is your bedroom. And that little room up there, that was like the servants' quarters. servants' quarters. There's a servant with Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada traveled with a few devotees, the secretary servant and so on. So he said, and then we showed him the bedroom. Oh, bedroom and it. Oh, so he was very happy. But he said, for me, I can just take simple things. So Prabhupada just accepted, just on behalf of the Supreme Personality, I'm training you. I'm training you how to do first class. Everything must be first. Not that I require first class, but it is my duty to train you the first class, how to offer to Krishna first class things. Because Krishna is pavitram, pure. So we have to come to the pure also. And so therefore we have to present Krishna the purest things, not the lowest type things. The purest things to please Krishna, and I'm not requiring. So all these things that Prabhupada taught us, how to cook, how to do so many things, how to do the deity worship, every aspect he taught us how to do. He would cook himself. All these sweets. I remember these sweets, all the rasmalai, rasgula, gulab jamun, sandesh, all that Prabhupada showed exactly how to cook it. And very high class. I always wondered when I went to India, sometimes the devotees would buy the sweets in the sweet shop just from the street. And they're not very good, not high standard, more a street standard. So we were always wondering. And then I went to some devotee life member place, and he brought some sweets he bought in the shop. And he said, oh, this is like how Prabhupada. He said, yeah, this is the high class sweets. They're from the Bengal sweet shop. I'm offering you the high class sweets. There's a street sweets, another thing. But Prabhupada, he taught us the high class, everything high class. How to do the rice. I remember one time Deepak, my godbrother, he cooked some rice. He decided to put some lemon, and somehow or other it didn't work. And then when Prabhupada made a face, he said, what is this? That is lemon rice. He said, it's turned the rice. It's not very good. I will throw it and make some other. No. Bring some milk and sugar. Let's change it. So he showed it everything. And then I remember when someone brought him some puri, Dwapiana, he cooked some puri. And the puri and the sabji or lunch prasad, I think it was. So then Prabhupada got the puri and he went, said, what is that? That is puri, Prabhupada. He said, that is not puri. He said, if you didn't know how to make puri, why you didn't ask me? I will show you how to make the puri. Another time the japatis were brought, they were flat. And said, what is that? How, why are they flat? They should be puffy. Puffy chapati. So our Prabhupada here was at the one house. Said, because here they don't have the fire stove. They only have electric stove with the plate. So it's very difficult to make it puffy. No. I'll show you. He went in the kitchen and he did it. He said, and he put in puff. Said, just like that. He was a very good cook. And doing the kirtan, doing everything, how to do kirtan. Madhavisa told me he was personally trained by Prabhupada how to do the kirtan. You have to start off slow. He said, you go in the waves. Start off slow, go more higher, then crescendo in the end, and gradually, and the dancing. Prabhupada showed everything how to do. And even how to do Harinam Sankirtan in the beginning they were doing in New York. He started. He went to the Tompkins Square Park. You can go, every devotees always go to that park. There's the tree, I think, it's still there where he sat up. You have devotees go. It's like a pilgrimage site. We all go there. So he went. He showed how to do it, and then he had the idea when he was in Sanford. He had an idea for World Harinam, how to do it, and he actually did a diagram. I saw this. He did a diagram. He said, "You put one mat, and on the mat, that someone can be playing harmonium, another one can be playing kartal, another one can be playing like tambour or some instrument, and the others will be standing. They will be standing, dancing in the front." And some can be just going and distributing the literature in the front. And you do follow this like this, and then you do all over the world. And then later on, of course, the devotees were walking. Prabhupada, we think by walking we're going and seeing more people. Yeah, all right, that's very good. Do like that. So Prabhupada training how to do all these things. I was saying the other morning that even in the kirtan, one time in Delhi, there was a big pandal, and then the devotees came back to the temple. Prabhupada said, well, what do you thought of the kirtan? Oh, it was all right. And it was very nice, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, it was not very nice. He said, too much banging and clanging. You couldn't hear Hare Krishna mantra. He said, I will show you how to do the kirtan. And then he showed the cocktail, and then this is how you do. So from time to time, you had to show, exactly. Although he didn't mind, I remember here, we were jumping and running up and down. He liked it. I remember one time. And Mayapur, one time, we were young brahmacharis, very gung-ho, and we all went. And so our kirtans were what we used to call, I don't know if you use this term anymore, but we used to call wampa stompa kirtan, meaning with the wampa very loud and stomping and running and jumping and twirling. And some senior devotee, he made complaint to Prabhupada. Dad, Prabhupada, this is like football match. This is not how you do kirtan, like a football scrum in the rugby. They're doing very close to each other. So he complained to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, the message came back that some devotee told me he was there. He said that Prabhupada thought, they're young, let them go. So we were very enthusiastic to go like that. But generally, as long as you can hear Hare Krishna mantra, if it's very stylized, I remember one year someone had idea in Mayapur to do kirtan competition between the different yatras. So this is America, they have to do the kirtan. We had a pandal, a big stage. And then a kirtan competition, and whoever won of the country, America, England, it is India, and whoever won would get some prize. So then some devotee was dancing, and then particularly one group, they were like dancing, very stylized, like dancing, very, like Bollywood type thing. And so then Prabhupada heard, he sent message, he stopped, stop this, no, we don't do like that. Our kirtan is for love of Krishna. We're not making show of dancing in this house, showing off your dancing. I'm the more best dancer. Oh, I've got the most beautiful voice. Let everyone hear my voice. And sometimes you sing, but hardly you ever come. This type of kirtan is quite popular. Just like that. But no, hardly it comes to the Krishna mantra. Just mainly the voice. So you hear this in the Muslim countries a lot, they chant like that. So Prabhupada said, don't do the kirtan like that. He showed her how to do the kirtan. Mainly is the mantra is very important, not other things. Other things just can be to enhance the mood, and just enhancing. Main thing here, the mantra, Hare Krishna mantra, it can be with no instrument, just chanting, just clapping, or just hearing. Advanced devotee doesn't make distinction, just whether instrument or no instrument, who's singing, who's leading, the very advanced devotee. But because we're beginning, Prabhupada and all the acharya, they require some enhancing can be there to give you a good feeling to continue the chanting. So so Prabhupada would very much train us. He would accept on behalf. And so here she is worshipping her husband, and he is seeing that the husband is seeing himself as a representative of the Supreme Lord. He is accepting on behalf of the Supreme Lord. I said the other morning that the ladies actually considered representatives of the goddess Lakshmi. Goddess Lakshmi. And the men are representatives of Narayan. So now if everyone feels themselves representative of someone else, someone higher, especially the Supreme Lord, then you will remain humble. But if you're thinking, oh, I'm big, big this, I'm big, big that, then you'll get puffed up. So generally in this world, Jan Maishwara Shrutashi Bhir, generally we get puffed up. What is our birth? A big birth, big Brahmin family, big aristocratic family, or, high birth, big, big family. And we get puffed up. Oh, I'm big family. You're a low family. You're a nothing, and I'm the big. And so they're all Jan Maishwara, or we get puffed up. Money. I've got a lot of money. Someone who's got a lot of money, even they can, the lowest of person, still they're respected, they worship them because maybe I can get some of it. They think people are thinking. So if someone's got money, they get puffed up. And someone, Jamesha Shuta, a very big learning. I have BA, MA, PhD, and so I'm more educated. That's that story, Prabhupada. We used to do plays about this, little skits, and Prabhupada told that story of the boatman. Have you ever heard of the boatman? It's a very old story we used to do all the time. The boatman, he was a simple boatman, rowing the boat across the river. So one big professor, he came there, boatman, take me across the river. So he went and a little way across. He said, boatman, do you know about the fauna and the flora, or the different flowers and the trees and the animals? Do you know these things? Oh, I don't know. I just know rowing the boat, I know. Oh, you've wasted 1/4 of your life. You don't know these things. What's that? Yeah. Anyway, this story varies a little bit. But so then, do you know about the clouds in the sky and so on and so forth? And so, but I don't know. I just know. And so it was going like that. And so you've wasted half your life. You don't know these other things. You've wasted three quarters of your life. And then there was a big storm all of a sudden, and raining and wind. And then the river became very fierce, big waves coming, and the boat was going to tip, tip, tip. And then the professor was very worried. Oh, boatman, tell me, what do we do? What do we do? And I think we're going to tip, professor. We're going to tip. And what do we do? What do we do? Just swim, professor, swim. And then the professor, oh, I don't know swimming. Then you wasted 100% of your life. You know? So you can know so many things, but you don't know the basic thing. What is the use? I don't know swimming. So one can know many things. So if you always think of yourself the representative of someone, especially someone qualified, higher authority, the Supreme Personality of God, then you can remain in humble position. Always remember this. Keep it fixed in your mind. There's one verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think, where Lord Chaitanya says one should remain humble, keeping the necklace of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra around their neck and offering obeisances always to the devotees. One can remain very humble. Both husbands should be thinking like that. The wife should be thinking like that. You're very humble. You know, it takes humility to be able to go and offer the garlands to other people, offer respect to the other people, touch their feet. It takes humility. You might not like to do it, bowing down. I remember when I brought some friends, just before I became devout, I brought some friends to the temple, and my friend and his girlfriend at the time, and they came. So after I said, how do you like it? And the boy said, oh, very nice, nice food, he said. But the girl said, yeah, it's very nice, but just bowing down, all the time bowing down. It's not a natural thing. bowing down, and bowing down, and after 1 minute, bowing down again, after another, bowing down. He said this. So I said, oh, they're practicing humility. And so we may not like, and so it may be mechanical, bowing down to the guru, bowing down to the deity. We don't want to do it, but it's good for you. Because the tendency in the Kali Yuga, you're in a mode of ignorance, the tendency is to become puffed up. So very good you'd bow down. Although sometimes devotees do too much at every slightest opportunity. But then again, when you go to Vrindavan, you can go parikram, and some people they do dandavat parikram all the way. They do one dandavat, then they start from the next one, all the way around Govardhan Hill. That's a very tapasya, that one. But anyway, so one remains humble. Now here, Kashyapa says, going on from what we read, that he says, if you perform this ceremony called Pumsavana for 1 year with great faith, for at least 1 year, he says not just one, he says at least 1 year you have to do, you will give birth to a son destined to kill Indra. But if there's any discrepancy in the discharge of this vow, the son will be a friend to Indra. Very interesting. A friend to Indra, not just he'll be kill Indra, but he'll be your friend. So Indra, he divined that she was doing like that, what her purpose, because these demigods are very powerful, they know all things. And so he divined like that. And she said, of course, yes, I will follow your instructions. This is very intelligent. Very intelligent. I will follow your instructions. Now, she very much respected her husband, and of course her husband respected his wife. She respected him because he was a great rishi. You don't have to respect your husband blindly. But if there's someone is very advanced, rishi, like Kashyapa Muni, very, very advanced. So he's very knowledgeable, pandit. He's a pandit of the demigods. And so he's a great pandit, like Brihaspati, Kashyapa Muni. These are all big, big personalities. So she very much respected him. So he gave all those instructions. So her decision was, yes, I'll follow. This is intelligence. Just like when Krishna, Nastamo Shmiti, no, Kachchina Tachchutampata, Tvayaka Genacha, Kachchina Gana Sama, Pranastaste Dananja. Krishna asked Arjuna, have you heard all these things that I've told you in as far as these instructions? Have you heard with attentive mind? Are your illusions and ignorance now gone? This is Krishna. This should be the result of hearing transcendental knowledge. Your illusion, ignorance gone. And Krishna made a point. Have you heard with attentive mind? You have to, because spiritual life is very, very subtle. And a lot of knowledge. So you have to hear with attentive mind. Just like in school, if the children want to learn, they have to pay attention in the class. So Krishna asked, have you heard with attentive mind? And then Arjuna, very humbly and intelligent, lasta moha smriti labdha tatpasaram achara sitasi gata sandeha karishya vachanandava. He said like that. That was his answer. Lasta moha smriti. Yes, my illusion. Achyuta. He addressed the Lord as Achyuta, infallible. In other words, his instructions, his transcendental knowledge is infallible. And you are Achyuta. And by your mercy, Tat Prasada, by your mercy, I have heard everything nicely and my illusion is gone, my ignorance is gone. But not by my intelligence. He could have said, yes, I've heard, but I'm knowing these things already. No, he is not like that. He said, by your mercy, I've heard these things. And then more importantly, he says, now I am prepared to follow your instructions. This is intelligence. Someone gives you good instructions, why not follow? This is intelligence. Not that we have to remain foolishly independent. Some people in mode of ignorance, foolishly, someone gives you good instructions, no, I won't follow. You know, one of the symptoms of mode of ignorance is stubborn. Stubbornness. Very stuck. You will not move. Good instruction. No, I'm not following. Doesn't matter. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tells one story of the man. He was afraid. He was holding onto the tree. He was afraid of falling down. He said, and then some people were coming and they wanted to give the bakshish. They want to give a donation. And he's holding the tree. And they wanted to give. And the man said, I want to give you the bakshish. Just hold your hand so I can give. No, I don't want to. I'm afraid. I want to hold the tree. But how you get the bakshish? No, I won't. No, but just let go and I'll give you the... No, I won't. Stubborn. All right. So then he gave the bakshish to the next one. So he said, this is a very foolish, stubborn person. Don't be foolishly stubborn. That someone gives you good advice. And actually in the Bhagavatam you read in many places that you can take the filthy place some good thing. You can take instruction from, if it's good instruction, it can come from anywhere. So one has to be humble enough to see, oh, this is good instruction, even doesn't matter where the source is. Of course, if the source is also nice, that's better still. But if it's good instruction, one needs a little bit of acute intelligence to understand. Unfortunately, Kali Yuga, people don't have that good intelligence. Anyway, so we see here that she's following it, but Indra divined, and that he's coming to, you know, in a very duplicitous way, he's going to serve her very nicely. You know, because, and it's mentioned here, by daily bringing the flowers, the fruits, and she would have been assisting her husband. He would be doing homa, yagya, different things, because he's Brahmana. And so she would have been assisting him getting those things from the forest, bringing those things. So Indra decided he'll do it for her. He'll do it for her. And, you know, so this is a very duplicitous mentality. This is not very good. You know, someone who pretends to be your friend and he's holding, oh, you're my friend, but in the back he's got the knife ready to put in. And so sometimes your friends can be your worst enemies. They're plotting and scheming and pretending to be your friends. They're pretending, but they're not actually your friends. They're scheming and conniving and using all things against you. Who knows, maybe even to plot your murder. Can be. But here, Indra wasn't going to kill Didi. He wanted to kill her son. But later on, we'll read as we go through the chapter that it turned out the other way, that he was the friend. And even though he went in there and cut up the embryo in so many different seven ways, I think, and seven ways again, but they became the Maruts. And why are you trying to kill us? And we are your friends. We are your followers. And Indra was very amazed how they were still alive. It must have been the mercy of the Lord. So he understood all these things. And later on, Didi asked him to explain all that, and he apologized. So we'll read that coming up. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna, for listening. We may have a few minutes for some questions or comments. So if you want to take a moment to have a think about what you want to ask. Yeah, have we got a mic if someone wants to ask anything? Yes.
In the Bhagavad Gita, we see that Lord Krishna keeps on saying to surrender unto me, surrender all religion.
Keeps on what?
He keeps on saying to surrender unto me, to Arjun, and surrender all the religion. Mm. But then why does Bhagavatam like tell us to perform many rituals and religion?
In the Bhagavatam?
Why does the Bhagavatam then tell us to perform like rituals and...
Oh. Yes, because for those who cannot completely surrender, you know, Prabhupada one time he said to us, Savadamam Paritya, you know, there's only one instruction needed in Bhagavad Gita, actually. Savadamam Paritya, Mame Kamsanam, that verse, you know, just surrender unto me, give up all other varieties of the religion, so on and so forth. I will protect you from them. So it only needs one, but all the others are just to convince our mind to do it. So for those who are not doing, we surrender to Krishna, but you know, for devotees who are surrendered to Krishna, we can do extra things, but and the main principle is surrendering to Krishna. Some extra things. And then for those who don't surrender to Krishna, then these other things are good for them. But for those who do surrender to Krishna, then actually, all other things are not required. Just do chanting, just surrender to Krishna, do chanting, and that's the only thing that's actually required. But because we cannot 100% do like that now in the beginning, because we're thinking other things, therefore there's so many... I explained in the other morning, we have the Bhagavat Marg and Panchakriti Marg. We have our hearing, chanting, remembering. These are the main activities. And then we have Panchakriti given by... Mainly we follow Narad Muni, Narada Pancharatra. And he gives so many things to make us in the mode of goodness, to be able to follow the chanting, to be able to follow surrendering to Krishna. These other things are said as well. Understand? Because we're beginning devotees. And one thing is just surrender, but it takes one very advanced devotee just to surrender completely, just immediately. So for those of us just beginning, we need to follow some other things as well so we can do those activities. You understand? Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Thank you. Good question. Very good question. Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, thank you. Here we see that Kashyapa is giving list of instructions and then Aditi is trying to follow all of them. Sometimes we hear a lot of instruction and then we try to select those ones which is easy and try. Is that a good attitude or we just follow certain instruction and those which is difficult, oh, I cannot do?
Well, I mean, you have to see. Those sort of questions you can ask the devotees. I mean, there's so many instructions to follow, to try your best to follow as much as possible. The main instruction to follow, as she was asking, is to do the chanting. And the basic things have to be done. You know, the four regulative principles, chanting your 16, especially initiated devotees, chanting 16 rounds, the second initiate, chanting the Gayatri Mantra. These basic things must be done. All others are extra. All other things are extra. Of course, you know, we Nectar Devotion in Canberra, they had one study. I gave their class on Nectar Devotion, the 32 offenses, and then another 32, 64. So these things are, as far as possible, try to follow as many as possible. But picking and choosing, the main thing, we try to follow as many as possible. It's not expected that you can follow everything all the time, exactly. But the ideal is there. But we should be mindful to avoid the offences and do the good things. We should be mindful of all these. We should understand. But at least the basic things have to be done. Yeah, all over. You can't not do that. You have to follow those things. And then in regard to more detail, specific, you can ask the Guru Maharaj, you can ask the senior Vaishnavas, what do you think of this thing I'm looking at here, trying to follow in a certain way. You can ask them. Because there's some things are general, some questions you give general a response, and other questions you have to give more specific, depending on exactly what it is. Very good question. Thank you. Jai O Glorious Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Yeah.